When are you coming out here so we can watch a game, man?
As soon as I win the lottery, baby.
Two fucking bags, I'm winning it. Me and my office are winning it.
Okay.
I'm walking out of here with $30 million.
Yeah, you and me above, baby. Once we do that, we're set. Every weekend, you're coming to my suite at U.S. Bank.
Yeah? Really? Okay, I'm in.
Okay.
That's verbal contract, bitch. Right there.
Right. Cheers, brother.
Hello, Dave.
Hello, Ted. For another post-game reaction, this time the Vikings go into New York or New Jersey, however you want to look at it, and pull out the victory. First time ever, baby. What do you think, Ted?
It was nice. One, I missed Drew. I was telling you before we hit record, for those of you that are like old wrestling, professional wrestling, NWA, WCW fans. We're like the Fabulous Freebirds, man. Like the tag team wrestling duel that had like three guys show up to the ring at any one time, two would actually get in and wrestle. So yeah, Drew, wish you were here, but yeah, it was a good win, 34-17. Couldn't be happier. Had to wear my dad's old Lucky Vikings hat today at halftime to kind of change the karma up a little bit.
Oh, yes, and we miss Don Glover, and especially his quotes. And I miss the days when I'd go over to your house, and Don, when I would sit there, and you'd say something stupid, and we both look at each other and go, what the hell did he just say?
You're one of the few guys that can actually attest to my quotes. Like, people ask me, so, like, is that stuff your dad really said? And you actually watched, oh, yes. I think, two full seasons of football with us before you moved out east or retired and deployed. So yeah, you can verify that, like, the stuff I say or the quotes I used to have about my dad before he passed was 100% my father, 100%. No kidding around.
None. That was Don Glover to a T. And we both go look at that. And go, anyways.
Oh well.
Cheers, my brother, to another Vikings victory. And guess what?
First place. All
first in. Place.
Was that your question? I'm a psychic.
Yes, the Bears, as good as Trubisky has been, still lost to the Patriots because you have Darth Belichick.
What were his stats? Because at one point I saw he was like – he was kind of like Sam Darnoldish. He was like 3 of 8 or 3 of 11 for 25 yards. I don't know how he finished, and I know it was a close game, and he had a big Hail Mary where they were stopped on the one at the end of the game. But look, man, I'm sorry. I'll say this until he wins a playoff game. I am not sold on Mitch Trubisky. I just don't think he's all that in a bag of donuts. I just don't.
No. Well, we shall see. It shall be interesting. Oops, I didn't want to do that.
What are you doing?
Well, I was looking up his stats to try to figure out what the hell went on.
Oh, okay.
And it didn't. I got the video and the shoop sound.
Sound like Chris Berman with a whoop.
And then he went whoop. And it could go all the way. Hey,
we are probably far too intoxicated.
Chris Berman, I love Chris Berman. And I watched his hair fall out week by week.
We are probably far too intoxicated to be doing this show.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that, baby. Nothing wrong with that.
So what are we talking about, man?
Well, we got to talk about the Vikings win.
Now, all right.
Today, we just took the lead in the NFC North, which where we should be, right? That's normal, where we should be. But there's a few things we need to talk about.
All right.
First off, I want to give a shout out to Snarlex B-Rights, a South Carolina Vikings fan that loves our YouTubes. Way to go, baby!
Thank you for watching. You and the three other people that watch this, I thank you.
Yes, I thank you. Hey, it's more than three. Some weeks we don't do so well, and some weeks we do very well.
Oh, that's good.
Now, of course, we'd love to do very well across the board. So please feel free to share. Say, hey, guys, to your Vikings buddies, you need to watch this podcast, vodcast, whatever you want to call it.
Watch these three morons.
Yes. Anyways, I've been imbibing as I normally do during game time, and it was a good game, but it did cause me to drink, as I'm sure it did to you.
Yeah, just a little bit. Oh, Trubisky, 26 of 50 for 333 yards, two touchdowns, two interceptions, but we're not here to talk about Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah, but that's barely over 50%.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kirk Cousins, who did a hell of a lot better in terribly windy conditions.
You know, everybody on Twitter, do you when you watch a game, how do you watch it? Do you watch it on the Facebook fan site that we have, or do you watch it? Do you kind of follow along on Twitter or Daily Norse? What do you do? Do you just watch the game and not do anything?
No, I have two screens, two monitors. I watch the Gjallarhorn group on one. I watch Twitter on the other. And then, of course, on my TV, I have the game itself, which I'm physically watching.
I was kind of following along on Twitter, which is pretty much all I ever do for social media during football now. And people were like fairly irritated with the Vikings at halftime. And I was kind of bummed. I thought there were times when they had really good field position, and I think they had a chance, I think even in the third quarter, to score a touchdown and put the game away, and they didn't do it. And people were frustrated and irritated with Kirk Cousins. But then you look at what the Vikings did in the first quarter and the fourth quarter, and I kind of want to flip that argument on its head. I don't know that the Vikings were able to hold the Jets, I think, to no points. I'd have to double check that, but the Jets did virtually nothing with the wind for two quarters, and the Vikings were still able not only to keep their lead, but to extend their lead and then put the game away in the fourth quarter when they got the wind back. So yeah, it was kind of a sloppy game, but, they still managed to win convincingly.
Yes, they did. They won by 20 points. It didn't seem like that, but they won by 20 points. That's a convincing win in today's NFL.
It is. Yeah, very much so.
Period. And the win played a game. You saw Bailey's kicks, and the one that I watched that he missed went up, and then you saw the wind kick it. And then the wind kick it again.
Looked like an Adam Wainwright 12-6 curveball.
Yes. Exactly.
Sideways.
Mm-hmm. But it just barely missed. But he made the other one, so that's okay.
Yeah. You got Ebola? What's going on?
It's this.
Ebola.
It could be Ebola, but I think it's this malaria I've been battling for years.
HIV turning into AIDS or what?
No, it's the malaria I probably got during the Gulf War.
Did you really?
Yeah, it could be.
Sorry to hear that.
Who knows? You know, they gave us shot A and shot B, and then I asked about it, and they said, well, no, that's classified.
I never took any of those shots. I doctored my records, so I wouldn't have to get it.
You're lucky. I got those two shots.
Did you really?
Literally, in the shot records, and I've still kept them, it says shot A and shot B.
And nobody cares.
But anyways.
You're going to die of anthrax cancer. That's okay.
Something down the line. But who cares? We all die. Just as long as the Vikings win a Super Bowl before that happens.
God, no kidding.
Please.
No kidding.
So, What do you think of Daniil Hunter? Do you think that half sack or sack counts as his eighth sack?
I do.
In consecutive days? I do too.
I do, and I think Stephen Weatherly actually played a better football game than Daniil Hunter. And that's not to take away from Hunter. I just thought Weatherly played a very good football game.
Well, I think he did too. But Daniil, a lot of times you saw other people getting sacks when Daniil was pushing his offensive guy into the quarterback, which I thought was just outstanding. You saw a lot of that. Richardson did that too.
I thought the Vikings defensive line as a whole won at the line of scrimmage all day long. I mean, the Jets really didn't get a whole lot of anything going on in the running game. Sam Darnold's completion percentage, I didn't see the final stats, but the last I looked, he was about anywhere from 33 to 40% completion percentage. A lot of that had to do with the pressure he was under. I just thought it was arguably the best game the Vikings defense had put forward so far this season. Just tremendous effort in bad conditions on the road against a team they had never beaten in their stadium. So that's one more check mark in the Mike Zimmer things the Vikings can't do resume. I don't know how anybody can be really irritated or upset with this performance, considering everything they had to put up with.
Linval was out, and Johnson stepped up in his place.
Yeah.
And that whole D-line just did, I think, relatively fantastic.
How great is it? Seriously, let me ask you this. How great is it that the guy that's starting in place of your starter is last year's starter?
Yep.
No, seriously. How awesome is that?
He can't beat it with a stick.
Right?
But you know, we talk about depth, and depth on the D-line we obviously have. Mm-hmm. And we thought we had depth in the secondary too. But
yeah,
with Hughes out, and now it looks like Xavier Rhodes is out, we had Drew's favorite player, Cypress Hill.
Salisbury Hill.
Step in, and boy, did he play.
Yeah. First, I think the first or second play he was in, he had a pick. It was great.
Yeah, it was sweet, and he was always in coverage and always there. I gotta thank Zim. Obviously influences Spielman on those draft picks, and in this case with Hill, undrafted free agent. Gotta love it. Absolutely gotta love it.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it's really goes to really credit goes to Rick Spielman and building the roster. I mean, think about when he took over as GM in 2012. The Vikings finished in 2011, I think, what, 3-13? The only player of any consequence they had on that roster was Jared Allen. Right. That was it. Well, Adrian Peterson. They had Adrian Peterson and Jared Allen. And over the last 5 or 6 years, Rick Spielman has methodically rebuilt this roster and made it younger and better. And they've managed to keep the core guys that they've wanted to keep, like, oh, heck, Harrison Smith, Daniil Hunter, Eric Kendricks, Stephon Diggs, Adam Thielen. They signed Kirk Cousins. They signed Sheldon Richardson. Everson Griffin has had two contract extensions. I mean, you could – Xavier Rhodes. You just go down the list of guys that the Vikings have drafted, developed, and kept since 2012. And I would argue Sharif Floyd would have been a key part of this defense if he hadn't had that just weird fluky injury and then the bot surgery and all that stuff too. I mean, it's just really – yeah, he's had his misses, but overall it's been a phenomenal run for the Vikings, these in terms of hitting on personnel, both in the draft and free agency overall, and other than offensive line, which we don't talk about or whatever. But I mean, when you weigh everything together, the good has outweighed the bad, I think, and it's really been refreshing to see.
It, absolutely, it has. Now let's go flip to that bad side of offensive line.
All right.
I watched on the left side, you had
Compton? Tom Compton?
Compton did get injured today.
Yep.
And that's unfortunate. Isadora came in. Hill just, he got beat like a Adrian Peterson kid. It just was bad.
Oh my goodness, did you just say that?
Yes,
that's terrible.
It's terrible.
You need to edit that out, but it's funny. I'm not saying it's funny. I'm just saying.
it was bad.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
You know,
conversely, Brian O'Neill, I thought, did pretty well again.
I thought he did too. And just think, Vikings fans are looking at Brian O'Neill and going, you know, hey, he's doing, you know, semi-okay, right? He's doing good, but he's too small. He doesn't have the bulk for a tackle. He doesn't have the skills. He can't set the anchor, right? He doesn't have the weight. He doesn't have the experience. But damn, he's doing better than Hill. And he's holding up. That was a good draft choice when we thought, you know, originally, oh, no, yes, you know, he's just a project. We're not going to see him till the second year. O'Neill should start. As soon as Reef gets back, Reef goes to left tackle, Hill stays at right, and Rashad Hill goes to the bench.
I would agree. Yep, 100% agree. O'Neill, I think O'Neill has been a godsend for this line. Mm-hmm. I think since Pat Elflein came back, I think he struggled a little bit early. He made some big boy blocks today on some Latavius Murray runs, particularly I think Murray's second touchdown. He moved his dude. Elflein moved his dude to another zip code.
He consistently made the second level and sealed it off.
Yeah, he did. He did. And that's very encouraging as the Vikings progress in the season. I mean, I was kind of worried about Elflein, whether or not he was fully healed. I think he was healed looking back. It's just that he had not got a lot of reps and not played a lot of football, and he was, you know, doing a lot of rehab, which makes sense when you look back at it. And I think he's playing really good football now. That really started to show in the second half of this football game today.
Right. Right. No, it's just – I think it will get better as the season goes as long as we stay away from injuries.
Yeah, I think so. Riley Reiff needs to get back. Xavier Rhodes needs to get back. I don't think – have the Vikings announced what Rhodes' injury is yet?
No, but they were talking on TV about an ankle or lower leg.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I tweeted during the game when he went down. I was just – because I'm just a Vikings pessimist by nature. I said, I bet he's popped his Achilles and he's done for the year. And
I hope not.
I got chastised for that. But then he came back out on the sideline, which I think is a really good sign. I think if he had a really serious injury like an Achilles or maybe a broken ankle, they probably would have kept him in the locker room and done more tests or just taken him to hospital for more tests. The fact that they didn't do that I think is very encouraging. He's probably dealing with an ankle sprain, maybe a high ankle sprain.
Well, high ankle sprain would be the worst of that.
Yeah, it would be. But he might be back, you know, if that's the case, he might be out next week against the Saints, which would really blow. But he'd be back and, you know, I would think, you know, Barr, and then Anthony Barr was hurt too. Like, come on, man.
And I picked him in the game of Skull this week.
That's our game on our Facebook page that we're part of. You know, if Barr, Rhodes, and Cook are out again next week against New Orleans, that would be a tough thing to do for the Vikings. But if there's an advantage, they'll be at home, which will be good. So we'll see.
They'll be at home, and we've got a better offense this year than we did last year.
Yeah, hopefully Dalvin Cook will be back next week and will take a lot of pressure off the offense. But that said, Latavius Murray made some big plays today for the second week in a row.
Oh, yes, he did. And like we said in the last show, he could start on most teams in this league.
Yeah, I bet I'd have to go through the list of running backs and all that on each team, but just off the top of my head, he'd start on probably half the teams in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Just kind of completely wagging it.
Right. Now, speaking of offense, what do you think of, I'll put it out there, the best receiver in the NFL right now, Adam Thielen?
I think if you start a list of best that says these are the best wide receivers in the NFL and Adam Thielen isn't number one, your list is invalid.
You know, we got into discussion this week on Twitter, right? The groups from Climbing the Pocket Network got into it, is who's the best receiver? And I got into, oh, does he have the explosion? Does he have the cut? No, there's better receivers that have this or have that. And I put out in my explanation, you can buy the best camera made, which is a Hasselblad. And you can pay $26,000 for the Hasselblad. It's got like 56 gig worth of memory on its or meg on its picture. Takes outstanding pictures, right? But is that the number one camera used today? Of course not. Number one camera used today is the iPhone, and it produces more pictures than has ever been taken in history. Adam Thielen is the iPhone of wide receivers. He may not be the super duper, can explode off this or do that or do this, but he's producing more yards than any other receiver in the NFL in 2018, period.
That's my iPhone. Although it's a Stephon Diggs case, that's my iPhone. So here's the deal. What was the name of that $26,000 camera you just mentioned?
It's called a Hasselblad. And by far,
the Hasselblad.
I've used one before. And so, by far, it is the best camera made, best lenses ever in the history of the planet.
In an unrelated note, Hasselblad?
Blad.
Hasselblad, when translated from German, comes out to Odell Beckham Jr.
Okay, could be. Very well could be.
I agree. And everybody says, well, Stephon Diggs is a more dangerous threat. And I 100% agree with people that say that. When I praise Adam Thielen, I don't mean to disparage Stephon Diggs, because I think Stephon Diggs is just as good a receiver as Adam Thielen is. But right now, teams are taking their number one guy on defense and matching him up against Stephon Diggs. Mm-hmm. And I think it's truly become a pick your poison for opposing defenses. Look, if you want to give up 11 catches for 125 and a TD to Thielen, that's fine. But if you roll coverage over to Thielen, you're going to give up 6 catches and 175 to Diggs.
Right.
And that's cool. Go with God. Do that too. I don't really care, because I don't care what your defensive alignment is, unless you have two guys named Deion Sanders at cornerback for your team. You're not going to be able to cover both dudes. You're just not. And so the Vikings, fortunately enough, are able to take advantage of that mismatch with whoever Adam Thielen is lined up against. And people say, well, if Stephon Diggs is better, then Adam Thielen is worse. Well, that's not necessarily true, because you're still throwing the ball to Adam Thielen. He still has to catch it. He still has to make yards after the catch, and he still has to score. And for all the natural athleticism Stephon Diggs has over Adam Thielen, I think he's a better runner. I think it's a push in route running. And I think it's a push in hands, although you could maybe make an argument that Thielen is maybe just a smidge better. I don't know. I think they're both fantastic wide receivers. I'm I'm happy that it's a Minnesota Vikings problem and not anybody else's. And the great thing about it is neither one of those guys seem to have an ego, where you have like an OBJ or an Antonio Brown, or name 10 other wide receivers in the NFL. If those guys aren't getting their looks and getting their targets,
right,
after 2 or 3 weeks, there's gonna be some griping. And the thing I love about this team last year, the year before, and this year is that it's, you know, when the chips are down or when one guy isn't getting all the opportunities, it's still an all for one and one for all kind of thing. And there's very little ego on this football team. And I really, really like that.
Oh, so do I. And now the argument I like is, well, you got two good receivers, whereas Antonio Brown or Odell Beckham, they're the premier receiver on that team, and there's no real good guy to balance it out. Well, hey, sorry, that's not Adam Thielen's or Stephon Diggs' problem.
I think, right? You could make an argument that Juju Smith-Schuster is a pretty good compliment to Antonio Brown.
No, I concur 100%.
But
people are making that argument that Adam Thielen isn't that good because on these other teams with good receivers, they only have the one good receiver.
Yeah, well those people are stupid. They are.
And it's like, hey, stupid. Just happens the way. Both are running damn near 100 yards per game. Yeah, Diggs isn't getting there. Now, however, Diggs today, he did disappoint me. I saw him draw, what was it, drop 2 or 3 balls.
Yeah, he dropped one. I mean, one was kind of tipped, but it still hit him right in the hands.
It's a wide receiver, if you are taught, if it hits you in the hands, you need to catch it.
Yeah, but if it's tipped and it changes the trajectory, you know, and you're thinking it's going to be here, and then in like less than 1 second, you know, the trajectory of the ball shifts to here. I get it. He still should have caught it. I'm not saying he shouldn't have, but I understand why that might not have been a catch as opposed to a straight line shot, right, that went, you know, right to the hands.
Of them went through his hands and hit him in the chest.
True. That's true. I mean, even the good ones, you know, you're not perfect, right, all the time. I mean, you're not
Troy Williamson, so that's
it. And we're griping about a 20-point win, brother.
I know. So. And speaking of which, Laquon Treadwell kept his streak alive. He didn't drop a single ball today.
Good for him.
I know.
Good on you, Quan.
Yes. Good on you, baby.
Dude, this is like my fourth, the fifth of Captain Morgan. This is like my fourth big glass of Captain Morgan and Diet Coke. My stock.
I should get up and do that. Hey, it's the Captain Morgan.
Sit down. My stock market report is going to need some editing.
Oh, that's okay. Well, I was drinking. Speaking of drinking, I tried a fufu IPA called,
really?
Yes, Tropicannon Citrus IPA.
Really?
Right.
Wow.
And if you like water, or you like grapefruit mixed with blood orange,
gross,
this is for you. Otherwise, it's trash. The only redeeming part of it is it has 7.25% alcohol per ABV.
I would rather run a drill through my temple than drink anything that tastes like grapefruit.
Yeah, it's just,
that's terrible.
It was bad, but I.
Why would you drink that?
Because I spent the money on it, and I don't want to waste the money on it.
Well, God, give that away. That's terrible.
Well, it's gone now. It's expended. So it's
good for you.
Well, I'm right now finishing up with Space Dust, which is okay.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, IPAs. It's where.
Hey,
IPAs are where. IPAs are where.
Hey, IPAs love it.
IPAs are where communism took root in this country, brother.
Wrong answer. Wrong answer. If I could get a good bitter ale, say Bud American Ale, I would love that again. But if you sold it here in Virginia, i.e. in Norfolk area, I would get it. but you don't. Come on, Budweiser.
That's actually not a bad beer. They've had like some specialty beers come out lately. I was over at Buddy's house a week ago. They had several of them, and I tried them, and they were. I gotta say, if you think Budweiser just does Budweiser and Bud Light anymore, you got another thing coming. They've really had to kind of shift their strategy and their thinking with the craft brewery explosion in the U.S. in the last few years.
Well, that's because U.S.
Well, last 20 years, whatever.
Gotten their taste better. But anyways, back to football.
Back to football. Skol.
Skol, baby. Thielen had his seventh game with over 100 yards.
Tied the all-time NFL record.
Yeah, which wasn't technically NFL because Hannigan was in the AFL at that time and they hadn't merged. But yes, next week he can beat it. Do you think he does?
No.
No.
I'm a pessimist nature with this team. So no. I am, and the Saints, at some point, and the reason I say this is at some point, teams have to recognize Adam Thielen is a wide receiver one quality dude. And will roll coverage to him. Does it start next week with the Saints? Maybe it does. I mean, I don't know. I think at some point this streak has to end. The Saints defense. Could they do it? Yeah, they could. I'm gonna say no. And I mean, God, you know, the Saints are 4-1. They're a pretty good football team. I don't like them.
But we can get into the Saints in the next show.
Yeah, but they're also one of the worst. See, they're like one of the worst, three or four worst deep pass defenses in the NFL, too. So I'm going to say no right now, but when you ask me again when we do our preview show, I might say yes. Because I think at some point Stephon Diggs is bound to break out. And it just kind of feels like Diggs is not really struggling because you can see coverages or defenses like really keen to try and keep him limited, which is allowing Thielen to flourish. And at some point, somebody is going to say, we got to stop Thielen and maybe talk themselves into thinking Diggs isn't all that in a bag of donuts. And I'm thinking that might stop next week with the Saints, but I'm still really on the fence with that, to be quite honest with you.
Okay. Now, speaking of pregame show, I've asked Di Murphy to come on to this show.
Yeah.
And you and I do Roughing the Podcast.
We do.
Which is a favorite show of mine and many, many viewers.
At least six.
Can you twist her arm to get her to come on?
I cannot. Di is a strong, independent woman that thinks for herself and does her own thing. So you'll have to talk to her.
Okay. Well, I can only ask.
Yeah.
She's told me no. So I was just hoping a little extra persuasion.
I have absolutely no influence over her whatsoever, dude.
Okay. Okay. Well, that should wrap up this show. Vikings win. We both love it.
Yeah.
Do you have anything last to wrap up?
It's amazing how or dramatic the NFL is. 3 weeks ago, the Vikings had come off a home butt whipping against the Bills and a terrible quarterback, and then they went to LA and they got boat raced and they were in last place, and now 3 weeks after that they are in first place all alone in the NFC North. Amazing what less than a month in the NFL can do to a team. Love it.
And we're coming close to running into the second half of the season. And as I was thinking at halftime today, wear them down. If the defense can wear them down and the offense can wear them down, we'll start scoring points in that second half, which we did, and we'll take over. It's no different in the division race.
Nope.
Wear them down.
Yep. Absolutely agree, dude.
Cool. Well, any of the last things you'd like to say to the viewers?
First place, all alone, baby. Love it.
Skol, everybody.
Skol.
Win.
Let's go.
Vikings win. They're first place in the NFC North. Yeah!
By the way, my leg of lamb was fucking fabulous.
Dude. Oh, fuck you. You can't tell me.
Oh.
I grew up.
Hooker would have paid me for that.
I grew up. My mom would fix leg of lamb with mint jelly. And that was a cheap piece of meat. Or at least it was. I thought it was. It was special back then. And I loved it. And I know lamb is expensive as shit right now.
Yeah, it's like $10 a pound.
And it's just like, oh, dude, that sounds so good.
Yeah, it was good. Smoked it for like 3 hours, medium rare, perfect.
Damn. Like I said, if I could have found my teleporter, I would have been there.